Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
so could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and good day, Canada. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2021 with a bang. It is the RP Show. I'm Rod. He's Moose DuPont. How you doing, Moose?
I'm great. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. It has been a Happy New Year-ish for a lot of people, not so great for others, but we're ready to talk sports today, and we're glad to have everybody with us. I'll say this, hour one, Facebook Live, hour two, simulcast on Game Plus TV as well as Facebook Live, but we're on Twitter Live, and today, do you want to say it?
Yeah.
YouTube Live.
That's a big one.
It is a big one. Yeah.
We're on YouTube now. So that'll be every day as well. Facebook's not going anywhere. But yeah, welcome to the YouTube viewers.
We are into the thousands of YouTube subscribers. So I know that's gibberish for a lot of you viewers, but for others, you get it. So subscribe to our YouTube channel and you'll get a notification every day when we go live. Enough of that. I know people are just digging in. They can't wait to get our thoughts on the big topics. So just hang on. Here's our guests today. Mike Zygomanis coming up in hour one. You know that name, of course, of NHL fame. He of Fan 590 Toronto. And a guy, like I've never met Mike Zygomanis before, nor have I. Ken Danico, our hour two guest when we go to Game Plus. But can I just say, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Ken Danico. He's a tough SOB.
Oh, yeah.
And they call him Mr. Devil, Mr. New Jersey Devil. He's from the NHL Network, Devil's analyst. He'll be with us an hour or two. And I got one question for him. What was it like playing for the Yorkton Terriers, and how the hell did you get there? That's my question for him.
Great question. I wonder how he'll answer it.
And do you remember Chris Cuthbert? So anyways, Clark's also got some lines in the water for other guests that may pop in the way this show goes. But those are our guests. Let's get to the Quick Six Show topics. Please, Director Jordan. These are Quick Six Show topics of importance to me, as you all know. Maybe not the most important in the world, but number one is simply NFL Week 17 notes. And hang on, we're getting to the boomer stuff. So hang on. Week 17 in the NFL. I didn't watch your Titans game. It came on at the end of the Rams-Cardinals game because it went to overtime, right?
Right.
It didn't?
No. Okay, let's
see. I didn't watch it.
It looked like it was going to.
Yeah.
And I almost wrote it off like it was going in overtime, but 20-some seconds left. They got into field goal range, and the rookie kicker put it off the upright.
Sloman.
They put it off the upright and in. So it was the doink and in, off the bar and in. It was nerve-wracking for the young kid. So that was cool.
I'm sorry. I had thought it was. I actually turned it off and was getting supper ready.
Okay.
Cowboys lost, but that's another. Who was shocked by that? That's not news. It's in my cat country commentary today. I told you I have that text group, that text chain with a bunch of Cowboys fans. And there everybody was snorting, game day. Let's get it.
I know.
I'm going out to play hockey, guys. I'm not even watching. Are you kidding? And then when the Cowboys inevitably blew it, I didn't care. Their heads are all popping off. I'm like, what did you expect, guys? So the Cowboys are out. The Eagles threw the game. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It would have been better if the Cowboys had beaten the Giants, which they had.
Can you imagine?
They had ample opportunities, too. And then a fumble right at the end on his own, trying to give it back to the Cowboys to give Andy Dalton a chance. They were in it right to the end. But then you take Jalen Hurts out down by three. He's got your only two touchdowns in the game. Imagine if Cowboy fans were sitting there waiting to get into the playoffs. And then Doug Peterson said, yeah, you think?
Hold my beer.
No chance.
So the Eagles are getting slammed for throwing the game. And Doug Peterson had a very flimsy excuse for why he pulled Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter. Did you see his post-game news conference? Wanted to get the other guy some reps. Like it was an exhibition game.
Yeah. But he cites all the guys who were in the game being like, look, we're coaching to win. Look, we kept this guy and that guy and that guy. But not the quarterback?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So there was a lot coming out of the game, and Chase Claypool, Canada's favorite son now, I think, has now tied an NFL record for touchdowns by a Canadian in a season, and he did it in his rookie year. So I don't know why people scoffed when I said Chase should at least be in the final three for Lou Marsh Award voting, but he wasn't. But who? What? I'm just an idiot sitting over here in the bunker. Anyways, so point two. I was watching the Cardinals game, weren't we all? I wanted to see how Strebler was doing, and wasn't good. I mean, he led the Cardinals on a touchdown drive on a short field on his first series after Kyler Murray came out, and then after that, he wasn't very good. And then when he threw the interception, and Boomer Esiason, I should get the exact quote, but I think we all know what Boomer said, right?
Yes.
What a horrific mistake. This isn't the Grey Cup. This isn't the CFL. And then to paraphrase, you can't throw a ball down the middle and not expect a defender to come up with it. Something along those lines. Here it is. What a horrific mistake. He throws it in between three Ram defenders and he's getting hit in the pocket. This isn't the Grey Cup. This isn't the CFL. You can't just take chances and throw the ball down the middle of the field and expect somebody not to come down with it. There's just no reason to throw the ball there. Boomer Esiason on Chris Strebler. Not long after that, Strebler gets pulled out of the game, rifles his helmet down. They put Kyler Murray back in, which Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Cardinals, clearly thought Kyler Murray on one leg was better than Chris Strebler on two. But it wasn't necessarily about Strebler. Nobody's arguing that Boomer had it wrong about Strebler. He wasn't good. What they're mad about is, have you watched a CFL game, Boomer? You can't throw the ball to three guys from the other team in any league that I know of. Correct?
That's correct.
That's what everybody's upset about. And Travis Lule really went after him. And Randy Chevrier really went after him. Derek Dennis said that he's just hating. But do you youngsters understand Boomer Esiason does have a history of ticking people off? Particularly when he's in the booth. When he's a panelist, he's kind of vanilla, more wallpaper. But when he was doing color, he ticked people off almost every week. And he has his own New York City radio show. This is what Boomer does. So I think people are getting a couple things mixed up here. And that is, he was slamming Strebler. We don't have a problem with that. Everybody is. It was his slamming the CFL. That's what people are mad about. And then some guy wrote me on Twitter and said, well, Tony Dungy said the same thing. So I said, did he crap on the CFL? And Tony Dungy shows up in my mentions this morning. He's writing at me saying, no, I said the NFL's different than the CFL. So Dungy's in this now.
I know. It's wild the way it's gone. It really is.
Yes.
And I know, like, you know, we're triggered a little bit up here whenever anybody mentions the CFL in a negative way, but it was a good thing to see everybody jump up to the defense of the CFL. You know, it kind of woke people up and woke us up and said, hey, a lot of people still care about the Canadian Football League. Even though we haven't heard from them in a long time, people still care about this league. That was pretty cool to see. It really was.
Well, it's interesting that the CFL's over here going, what did we do? You got Pat McAfee calling them state fair football. You got Boomer Esiason, you know, crapping on them. And the CFL didn't do anything. Maybe it's the problem. Maybe they need to do something. But that all went down yesterday, and it's led to our poll question today. That is, for Capital Ford and Universal Collision Center, will we see Chris Strebler back in the CFL? I'd love to know what they're saying on Facebook. What is it, 74% saying yeah?
Yeah.
74% say yeah, we'll see him back in the CFL. The question is, will we see him next year? Like, I sent a text to a longtime scout friend of mine, and I said, just what is your assessment of Strebler's play? And he said, first game, not easy. Four words. Everybody was expecting him to come out and be Kurt Warner.
First game, not easy, and you need to win to get into the playoffs. Like, everything, all of the pressure was all there of a playoff game and the expectations and people not knowing who he is and maybe doubting his skills. He's got to come out here, and this is his audition too, to the world. And he hasn't touched the ball a whole lot for Arizona, even though he's the backup and everybody thought that he was the next coming of Taysom Hill and was going to be this X factor in a wildcat offense for Arizona. He hasn't done that. He hasn't been that. He hasn't taken many snaps. That's a tough situation. And then he comes out, has that touchdown early, and then couldn't follow it up.
So the question is, Will he ever be able to throw the ball? The question is, do the Cardinals stay with him and give an opportunity down the line? What do they say? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. That was it, man. The road to hell is paved with guys who never got their shot. And there was Strebler's shot. He blew it. So do the Cardinals stay with him? Or does he come back to the CFL and tries his hand there? So that's why we spent as much time with Paul LaPolice last week talking about, does this guy have it? Does he not? Lapo says he does. But on Sunday, on the big stage, he didn't. And Brendan Gelanders from the Red Blacks, the fullback, he was DMing me on Instagram, or I guess it was in our comments, and he's like, why are they making him throw hot against a four-man rush, i.e. get the ball out of his hands? I don't know. Ask the Cardinals. But they weren't all hot throws. He was going downfield to DeAndre Hopkins. One he put right on him. Right on him. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey was covering him, and he still found him. He's going deep to Hopkins over the middle. Like, he didn't have a lot of help from those around him. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't deliver when he was on the big stage. That's it. Anyways, we'll spend more on that in hour two. We got to move on. This is the warm-up, by the way, for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up your home for the NFL. To hockey for a second. Point three, NHL opens training camps. Doesn't that just seem weird to you? I love it, by the way.
I know.
It really snuck up on us.
It really did. You know, and, you know, we kind of get lost in a little bit of the haze of the holiday season and things like that, and not really understanding if it's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, right? What day it is when you're taking days off. But yeah, it's training camp time, and it all feels weird because it's not when we're used to seeing it, but it's really cool to see guys back on the ice again, and I'm really looking forward to games.
I literally can't wait, but it's as far as the day in, day out training camp coverage, I can wait. Wake me up for the games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got other things going on here, like point four, World Junior Hockey Championship semifinals. Call me crazy. Many have and do. Canada hasn't really been tested yet. They haven't really had to go balls to the wall until tonight.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 4:30 Central Time, and I guess, what, 7:30 Central Time? The semifinals tonight, Canada-Russia, and then USA-Finland. I saw Connor Levi, the goalie, has a .967 save percentage. I mean, that's unworldly.
Yeah.
That's ungodly.
I know.
You know, but it just tells me they haven't really been tested a lot. And I was watching... I'm getting the games a little mixed up here. I mean, they played Slovaks, or the Czechs the other night. They played the Slovaks before. The shots were tied, like 24-24, and the Czechs didn't even have it out of their own end.
I know.
I turned to my brother and I said, where are they getting all their shots from? Is TSN just evening it up to keep us interested in the game? Because we're going to watch anyways. Connor Levi's gone for lunch. Right?
I know.
So they don't even need a goalie.
I know.
Tonight's going to be a different story against Russia.
It really is. You know, the Russians are going to come now. You know, you look at, they lost to the Czech Republic in the round robin, but that doesn't really tell you much about the Russian team. You know, when has Canada and Russia not played a competitive, really good game where the result's been in question? Doesn't happen often. You know, I look at our goaltending situation with Levi. When's the last time a goaltender in Canada went wire to wire, right? The entire, nobody's played another minute, right? Of action in the Canadian crease that I can recall. So it's been pretty impressive watching him play, but you're right. He hasn't been tested a whole lot. It'll be very interesting to see what happens if Canada faces a little adversity. They've never trailed in the whole tournament either. So if Russia happens to score first, that's going to put a wrinkle in everything, and we'll see what Canada's made of.
I got to ask our viewers to just be patient because this is episode number 393. You see people are writing in like crazy with comments about my comments. This is what we do here. We go through the six show topics. We talk about what we're going to talk about. Then we bring on the interview guest in the next segment. And then I answer your questions near the end. So they're all going nuts about what I'm saying. And a lot of them are ticked off. I can't get to you right now because I'm going through the show topics, okay? So hold on to your bingo cards. I'll get to you. So again, Canada, Russia, followed by USA, Finland. And then point five, my Raptors fan friends, This is interesting. They're really concerned that the Raptors are 1-4, but it's a huge indicator of where the Raptors rate out here in Western Canada.
Psst, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Out here. Except the diehards. And my diehard, I have diehard NBA Raptor friends, believe me. They're tweeting it. I'm worried AF about the Raptors. Dude, Canada's playing tonight. For real? Come off it. And point six, 2021 expectations / outdoor hockey. So this was my weekend, by the way. This is why I'm so happy. Most of you that really know me would know that I would be in Florida right now on a boat. It's not happening. But instead of pissing and moaning about it every day, I've bought goalie equipment from Canadian Tire street hockey gear. Throw the photos up if you don't mind, Clark. So this was yesterday with my nephew, Brett. My nieces and nephews are still on the Dallas Stars train, by the way. Yeah. They all got Stars gear. I'm moving on from the Stars. When my dad retired from them, I got my Oilers jersey on. That's a Gretzky vintage. People tell me that, well, it's actually not vintage. I made that up. That's 99 Gretzky and an Oilers orange. And people tell me it's sacrilege to do that. I tell them to go jump in the lake. I'll wear whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
I like the orange jerseys. I like Gretzky. Beat it. And then this was Saturday. The guy in the Leafs jersey is Mike Abou-Meshrick. The guy with a white T-shirt is Chris Best. Couple of Ryder greats there. And all their kids. And that's me repping my other team, the Golden Knights, with that lid. And we just had a big old time. So while everybody was doing their thing and complaining about certain things, I was out skating my ass off. And I will just say this. I was going to spend more time on it, an hour or two. But in the one game on the weekend, there were some junior players playing. And I was in goal, and I did let in a bad one, and it was that, ooh, got that look from them. Right? What's wrong with you? And I just flashbacks to when I did play competitively, and I'm like, that. All of a sudden, the expectations are out here, right? I'm like, this isn't fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd rather just go out for a skate and get in front of the puck and have fun. So I'm out. I went to the other end of the ice to go play with the kids.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just that. And I don't want to say who, but, you know, the people that were in my face. What's wrong with you? Why can't you concentrate? When I was a teen. I don't know. I can't concentrate. It's a problem. I just want to have fun.
That's fun. So the one question I asked, were you playing with a rubber puck at least?
No, of course not.
You had street hockey pads on and no protection other than
I wasn't
that.
Even wearing a can, which I
against junior hockey players?
Yes. And I went, stacked my pads. I'm like, whoa, I got nothing on down here. I never thought that I would be leaving my pins. Seriously.
Wow.
And no mask.
Talk about putting them on the table.
So I said to my brother, the redhead, I said, 500 games in a row, Glenn Hall, no mask. That's tough. That's tough. In an era where the guys didn't have curved sticks. But still.
Oh, yeah.
They could raise it. And Glenn Hall was down on the ice. Humboldt Sask. Okay, we'll take a timeout. We got Mike Zigomanis coming up and Ken Danico. And I'll get to your questions a little later on in comments. Trust me. You're watching the RP Show today. Facebook Live, Twitter Live, YouTube Live, Game Plus Television Network, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram.
Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. So just two quick comments coming out of the warm-up. One, the Jug is watching in Saskatoon. He's like, World Juniors on at 5 p.m. Sask time. Everybody figure what your time zone is. Get it together. It's not that hard. Ryan Kowalik says, Rod, you have a mask sitting in front of you. Just saying. Yeah, I went to play outdoor hockey without a mask, and this was sitting on my desk at work. That's the point. It didn't help me yesterday. Like, New Year's Eve when we left here, I didn't think I was going to go to Canadian Tire and buy all that gear.
Right.
And I wasn't going to buy another mask, so I figured I would just play without a mask. And I survived. Okay. Let's go out to Toronto now. Mike Zigomanis, co-host, Fan 590 Toronto, the country's first and biggest all sports station. He's the morning man. Everybody knows Mike Zigomanis' name, but I'm just going to say it again. 197 games played in the big show. Carolina, St. Louis, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, and Toronto. He's a Toronto product. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to chat with you, Mike. We've never met before, so I appreciate you coming on. Have you been able to get to the outdoor ice through all of this? Are you guys allowed to do that in Toronto?
Skate outside?
Yeah.
No skating outside. I did a couple events for the Leafs alumni a couple years ago, and unless I'm going out to a charity skate or doing something for MLSE, I'm not going outside and skating. So, yeah, I think the rinks are open, but I heard there was a Zamboni issue. No one was cleaning one of the rinks. So
that would not surprise me. Like in Calgary, they took the nets off the ice in Saskatoon. You can skate, but you can't play hockey. And I just wondered if it was even legal to do that. Our officials here in the southern part of the province have been very lenient, obviously. And that's where I spent the weekend. It was a blast. Well, Mike, how do you feel about just the story that NHL training camps opened up on Sunday? It kind of feels like it snuck up on us out here. How about you?
Yeah, no, it's kind of strange, right? Just starting training camp in January, and last time this happened was one of the lockouts, right? So it's kind of strange going through training camp now, and the teams that didn't make the playoffs got to open up a little bit earlier, and now everybody's in full swing, and Leafs started their camp yesterday, so that's been the excitement here in town, and chatted a little bit today about the lines and what they're looking like. But yeah, it's just a strange year, and hopefully it starts on the 13th. I feel like there's so much up in the air still that, you know, there's still a chance it might not start. I know the schedule's coming out, has already come out, and now they're going to come out with the time of the game. So hopefully it does get going, but I mean, all the provinces still haven't okayed it. We're talking about it today on the show, how Quebec, Manitoba, and Ontario haven't signed off. So I'm not really sure how or what the NHL plans are going to be if they don't have the provinces sign off, but we're getting hockey back, 56 game schedule. Hopefully they fit it all in, but we're excited up here.
Well, you know what? Let's get right down to it, to be honest with you. Fan 590 is the Leafs radio rights holder, right? Joe Bone calls the games on Fan 590. So I was hoping you'd have some information that we didn't have, because I'm looking at the coverage saying the same thing. How are they in training camp when they haven't even been cleared to play? Like, something must be going on that we don't know about. There has to be.
Yeah, we had Stephen Brunt on our show today. He co-hosts Writer's Block with Jeff Blair and Richard Deitch, and he thinks that this is already settled, behind the scenes, where I think, you know, these three provinces that are left, BC's obviously, and Alberta's signed off on it, that, you know, they have given the okay to the NHL. They're just, I think optically right now, it would look bad. And, you know, he kind of mentioned that it's kind of like, newscasts where they kind of give out the information or talk about something on a Friday afternoon. So a news dump, they call it. So maybe it's one of those situations where the NHL already knows the provinces are going to sign off and the federal government in Canada is going to be okay with playing games and allowing teams to travel between the provinces. So yeah, I'd be surprised at this point if one of the last three provinces did come forward and say, no, we're not going to be happy with that. You know, we're not going to okay either Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, or Winnipeg to play. So it's, the season's going to start. I have no doubt in that. Just, you know, by the 13th, it's still kind of up in the air. And I mean, what would happen if Ontario didn't allow Ottawa or Toronto to play, you know, maybe start on the road? It would create so many wrinkles, not just with those two teams. It would cause issues throughout the whole Canadian division. But
yeah,
hopefully, yeah, I hope it starts.
I'm absolutely with you on that. But I think we all can respect the government's position that this is a highly, highly, highly sensitive topic, right? So they're still trying to figure out how they're going to handle this when they do say, yeah, you can go play hockey. But you know what? They got enough of their own problems now with MPs and cabinet ministers and MLAs traveling over the holidays and saying they didn't, which we stay away from that talk, and as do you, Ziggy, on yours, so I don't want to go down that road. Lorne Goldenberg is watching in Pittsburgh. You would know that name, Lorne Goldenberg. He says, Ziggy was one of our hardest workers training with me and Gary Roberts back in the day. Lorne's a daily viewer of ours, Ziggy. What can you tell us about him?
Oh, awesome. Trained me for the summer at Station 7 with Gary Roberts. Yeah. Kind of one of the first trainers that really pulled me aside and said, no, listen, you can't just lift whatever you want, do whatever kind of exercises you want and expect to play. He kind of really worked with me and my flexibility and range of motion and made me into a better hockey player for sure. Cause at that time I was training, oh gosh, this is going to be embarrassing, but 7-8 hours a day and just kind of doing as much as I could and, really sat down with him and, learned about what it takes to become a good hockey player and to use the summer to get better, not just, train as much as possible to, think you're going to get yourself better. So, really knew my limitations, knew what I need to work on, and definitely made me into a better professional hockey player.
Well, sweet. That's cool to hear. Lorne, thanks for chiming in. Like I said, he watches every day. My niece has just committed to Robert Morris University in Pittsburgh, hockey player, and I can't wait to go down there. And Lorne, we're going to meet up down there and have a coffee and watch some hockey together. So from producer Clark,
it's a great hockey town.
No, I can't wait. I can't wait to go.
There. I loved it. Yeah.
Producer Clark says, okay, I'm getting serious here. He's a Leaf fan. Joe Thornton on the top line early in camp in Toronto. How is everyone in Toronto handling that news?
Yeah, I got actually a text message when the story broke and everyone was talking about the lines, how they opened up a camp. And I messaged my friend Beck, are you sure? And he said, yeah, no, it's and they're going to start the season that way. I said, well, hang on a second. Starting training camp and starting the season are two totally different things. And usually you have a couple games of exhibition. Teams play 6 to 8 exhibition games. Well, obviously this year, no exhibition games. So, you kind of have to know what you got in training camp, whether you're playing more inter squad games or, you just see some chemistry between guys. So a little surprised. I made the point this morning that I just don't know. So the line's going to be Thornton, Matthews, and Marner. And I prefer a guy on every, one player on each line that's going to go and actually get the puck. So I don't know who's going to get it on that line. I know Jumbo Joe, he hangs onto the puck really well down low, and big body, and Matthews, big body, puck possession guy, and Marner's, one of the best in the league at creating offense and creating space and zone exits and zone entries. So three skilled guys, they can make plays, they can score, but there's times in games where you need a guy like a Hyman or a Simmons that can go in and, just play physical, right? And create space in the corners, fetch pucks. So I don't know how that line's going to work out. I'd like to see it a couple times before the regular season starts, but I think it can work out and, they can definitely produce. And with those three guys and the way they think the game, I have no doubt they can be successful, but I just like to have one player on that, on each line that brings a little bit of grit and can go in the corner and be physical and take the body and create that separation and just be tough to play against, right? So I know the Leafs have a puck possession game and kind of got away from it a little bit last year when things weren't working out because, we're hard on the team here in Toronto, and the puck possession game's great when it works, and when you're not winning, it doesn't look great. So they've kind of changed a little bit of their look and the fabric of the team. But yeah, that top line was the talk of the town, and yeah, hopefully it works. I don't see it. There's 10 games in the first 17 days of the season. Joe's not 22 anymore, so I'm not sure how many of the games he's gonna be in, but you know, him and Spez are kind of getting up there in age, but that's going to be, I think, a bigger issue than who's playing together with each other.
Well, we're into it now. If the Leafs line combos in day one of training camp are being dissected to this degree. Mike, I appreciate the time, my man. Enjoy it. Congrats on the gig, and we'll be following closely. Hopefully we can do this again as the season rolls along.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Mike Zigomanis, Fan 590 Toronto, joining us. And as he's talking about that, and I had no idea that this was a thing, it reminds me of all my years covering Rough Rider training camps or maybe a Florida mini camp and reporting to the masses what the quarterback rotation of appearance was. And people are hanging on your every word.
Yeah.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, you people know this doesn't mean anything, right?
But it does.
Well,
to them. And they want to, you know, you want to dissect, you know, who's going to play, who's not. You want to look up that Marquise Williams beat Darian Durant's records, and you want to think that, man, this guy is going to be the next guy. So you go, you research, you look at it, and it gives you hope, and then you can't wait. And then you're excited. Now you're watching. Now you hope he gets a preseason snap, right? And he does well, right? And then all of a sudden you're waiting for him to get his chance.
Well, yes. But that is the dichotomy, look it up, of pro sports media coverage.
Yeah.
Like the coaches aren't thinking about what the media is looking at that they're going to report out to them. They're like, let's just try Jumbo Joe with Mitch and Austin. Let's just try it. All of a sudden it's front page news and everybody's talking about it. You get that, right?
I get it.
So Sheldon Keefe. I'm going to tell you what, if Mike Babcock can't survive in Toronto, nobody can. Write it down. Like, this is ridiculous that that's a big thing, but I'm relating it to the Rough Riders because sports is sports. The concepts are all the same. It's just the names, the faces, and the jerseys change, but the concepts are the same. So it's like when Chris Jones is penciling who's going to show up on what day, you know, or what series on day one of a mini camp, you're not thinking about this being reported to the world. But it's going to get reported to the world, and then people are going to go nuts so over it.
I know. It's so bad that it would be reported, and fans would be upset if the Leafs had a red Gatorade on a game day when you're playing against the Montreal Canadiens.
Sure.
They would be upset
that
you're using Montreal colors, right? It's just things like that that people want to get riled up about, and, hey, it's fine. It gives them something to talk about. I love it, and... Hey, we're dissecting these kinds of things. Hockey's back. Could be worse.
Oh, hey, and by the way, just to say, Donald Mitchell watching from Bahrain, he says, good Lord, sports fans, you do realize you have zero influence to the coaches and GMs. Damn fools, the lot of them. And Nelson Hakowicz says, if more Canadian media cared about the CFL to that degree, we'd have a 24-hour CFL network. Well, I think we could possibly... have that. We could do that. I'm not sure that the CFL wants it. Because the CFL, and it's not just the CFL, but they want to dictate how the coverage works for their league. It doesn't work that way. The media is going to dictate the coverage, not the leagues and not the teams. But I get what Nelson's saying. And that's why if I'm going to take a shot or a poke at the CFL, which frankly is just revealing the truth, I'm going to, because there isn't a show in this country that talks as much CFL as us. Not even close. Okay? So we are their biggest ally, a huge asset. Well, TSN's their biggest ally, but we're up there. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it, because I'm not dumping on the CFL. Everybody knows where it lies in my heart. But I'm also going to say the way that it is on those things.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll come back. And now for the rest of the show, which is a good 24 minutes of this hour, I will answer your questions, and Moose will as well. That's where it gets fun.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Today, we're on Twitter Live, YouTube Live. Subscribe. Get a notification when we go live on YouTube. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, it's going to get a lot of fun here. It has been fun, but it's going to get more fun. But a sports update, the Washington football team has emerged from the regular season with a losing record, but also the NFC East division title. They accomplished the feat by virtue of a 20-14 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles in their regular season finale. Washington will host a playoff game next weekend against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The New York Jets have parted ways with head coach Adam Gase after two seasons on the job. Gase was 9-23 during his time with the Gangrene, including an 0-13 start this year. By the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars tying a can to coach Doug Marrone this morning. So they call it Black Monday. The Jets got it started last night. The Jaguars kept it rolling today. Will anybody else be fired today? And Mike McCarthy should,
yeah,
but won't.
He won't. Doug Peterson, it sounds like, won't be.
Won't, no.
So it might be a light year.
Just in case some forgot, Steph Curry can still shoot. The Golden State Warriors superstar scored a career-high 62 points in a 137-122 victory over the Portland Trail Blazers on Sunday. And six Canadian NHL teams open training camp Sunday in advance of the league's scheduled start date of January 13th. The Ottawa Senators opened their training camp last Thursday as one of seven teams who didn't make the playoffs last year. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. I was smiling because I couldn't wait to get this out. Darren pointed this out in the break. If you missed it, Mike Zigomanis was just with us. Fan 590, played in the NHL, 147 games, Leafs, Coyotes, Hurricanes. And I was like, do you ever get out on the outdoor ice? And he's like, outdoor ice? No. Not unless it's a Leafs alumni. Like, what a stupid question that would put on skates in Canada and go skate outside with a bunch of little kids.
Yeah. I know.
Hey, I know. And by the way, he was great.
He was really good.
But he was awesome. But what you said, and I'm sorry.
No, bring it up.
What you said, you just got a glimpse inside NHL pro hockey culture right there.
That's the culture. And that's kind of the root of why I think this is great for the game, seeing everybody on the outdoor ice and falling in love with the game again. Because, you know, the culture of hockey has become
elitist.
I'm not playing with that stick. Like, if I don't have the nicest stick and the best gloves and nets and all these other things, I don't want to go play. I can't skate if these aren't the best, newest skates, right? And that's a little bit of the issue with the game. It's just like, yeah, throw me a stick, I'll go play. Straight, right, left, doesn't matter, I'll flip it around, right? I mean, you took street hockey pads and went out and played goal with a player's stick. You didn't have a goalie stick and looked like you're having the time of your life. Like, let's go fall in love with the game again. Let's figure out what stick is in the garage still. Let's find out, if doesn't matter if the skates are sharp. Let's just go play. And that's what I think we need more of, fall in love with the game. And I'm happy to see it.
Sorry to interrupt
you.
No,
go for
few it. Things. One, Listen Live's not working today, guys. Metal Shingle Guy has told me that. So I don't know if there's any. It's on now. Okay, Metal Shingle Guy, it's on now. Game on. Clark has asked, can we retweet? Can you go to the Rod Peterson Show Twitter feed and retweet our live broadcast on Twitter? I just did, Clark. Just for you. Breaking news, Black Monday continues. L.A. Chargers fired coach Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn fired today by the Los Angeles Chargers, and they were bad. So that's three. Who's next?
Woo-hoo-hoo.
I know. More from Don Mitchell. He says, hockey at the youth level has become a rich person's sport. You see more BMW and Teslas than Dodge Caravans at the rink these days. And trust me, I guess this can kind of morph into the Boomer Esiason thing. But from a straight outdoor hockey story perspective, can I say this?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you this, but I called my cowboy brother this morning because I was playing with my other brother and his kid. We did sticks in the middle playing yesterday.
Yep.
And three kids stood on the side and said, we all want to play together. And I said, well, you can't. We're split 50-50. They wouldn't play. They just stood off to the side and whined. And like 5 minutes later, I said, if you guys are just going to stand here and whine, go to the other end of the ice. So then they did.
Oh, wow.
And that's not really a hockey culture thing. And by the way, their moms were watching and they agreed. They were upset at these guys. Guys, you can't all play together, okay? We're having fun out here right now. So we talked about the hockey culture, what you just said, and you couldn't be more right. You're right. The hockey culture has its problems, but it was also the culture that I was raised in. It's a culture that I'm the most comfortable with. I recognize its warts. But you know what? When a guy goes, I'm not playing outdoor, that doesn't bother me. I just laugh. Whatever. Your loss.
Right.
Because we had a blast.
Oh, I bet.
Now, furthermore, to the Boomer Esiason crapping on the CFL on Sunday, which incidentally he did. Look, it's not about him ripping on Chris Streveler. Streveler wasn't good. Anybody will tell you that. Streveler will tell you that he wasn't good. It was about Boomer Esiason saying, this isn't the CFL. You can't throw it down the field in the middle of three defenders and expect somebody not to pick it off. That's what it's about. So you know that guy, George, he tweets us, Bulls Club?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He, by the way, is best friends with Kevin Cheveldayoff. Just putting that out there.
George is a great guy.
You know him?
I know
him. I never met him.
Huge.
Oh, yeah, I did meet him.
Big sports fan.
He came to my restaurant one time.
And
he's a good guy.
Big Blades fan.
So he just said to me, you know, Boomer crapping on the CFL would be like an NHL alum broadcaster crapping on the KHL or some other league. And I said, well, that's the difference in the culture of football and hockey. That's just the difference. In football, they're always banging on each other all the time. And that's just the culture of the sport. Hockey doesn't do that. Not that I've seen.
Yeah. They don't. It doesn't happen. I mean, you understand that there are lesser leagues, and you can comment on that. And the CFL isn't the NFL. We're not trying to say it's the NFL. But there's a more educated way to make that comment. Right. If you want to say, hey, look, this is the NFL. You can't do those things. Well, you know, it could come down to an interception in the middle of the field is a little more detrimental in the NFL. So you don't want to throw it up because, hey, we got four downs here. At least with time running down, you can get the ball back a little quicker in the CFL. So maybe there's something there. Or, hey, one less guy in the field isn't as big of a difference as you might think it is defensively. So don't just throw it up. You know, there's other more educated ways to show that you understand and you can still respect the CFL. But the way he just dismisses it, disrespectfully, just this isn't kindergarten class. You actually have to learn how to spell and write and do all these things. Like, it was just so dismissive and disrespectful. I think that's what got people upset.
Chad Isaac watching, he says he made another comment after Twitter went up in rage about the CFL again. Ricky Kazama, Ricky Regina watching. He says, Boomer for Kamish. Most publicity the CFL has had in a while. Well, look, I come from the Trump school of the bad publicity is better than none. So I'm sure there's a lot of people with the CFL sitting there just gnashing their teeth that Boomer would say this. And Pat McAfee going back to last week. Like, as I put in my commentary, it's been a bad week for the CFL's image, and they didn't even do anything.
Yeah.
Right? That, they're just going, why are you dragging us into this? But again, you don't see Harry Neal saying, this isn't the American Hockey League. You can't do that. Who would say that?
I know.
Because there's such a respect. Now, you said it a while back. We were talking about grapes. Why did we grow up knowing so much about the American Hockey League here? Because there's no teams for a million miles. Well, to Winnipeg, but it's not close. And it's because Don Cherry talked about it all the time. You said that, and it's true.
Yeah.
With this huge respect that we have for the Apple because of that. Whereas the CFL, people continue to joke and bang on it. Look, we have to break because I feel like we got to spend some more time on this, okay?
Yeah, we do.
So we'll be right back. It's the RP Show today. Twitter Live. Retweet our Twitter Live post, please. That would be great. YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Oh, this is just so great. I knew today would be great. Robin in Prince Albert says, do you think they are dismissing the CFL to distance themselves from the CFL in order to bring the XFL closer? No, they're not that smart. Ricky Rivard, did you say you have a restaurant? Where is it? I'm totally going. LOL. Ricky Rivard is in Winnipeg. Throw my chair.
Do I have to do that now? I'm going to add that to the business plan.
What?
We got to open up the Rod Peterson line of restaurants.
There's a funny story about that. Yeah, I don't have it anymore. It was a pizza restaurant called Famoso, Ricky, and we were approached to open one in Winnipeg. Now, remember, this was 3 years ago. If people in Winnipeg knew that I had a restaurant in Winnipeg, they would egg it, they would trash it, they would burn it down. Now's a different story.
And now we got some allies over there.
Well, I'm on TSN 1290 every Friday morning in Winnipeg. People were tweeting all weekend about it. Can't wait till Friday. Tell you're on TSN 1290, so maybe it's time. Life is all about timing. You know that, right?
Yeah, you think Westwood would ever want to open a restaurant with you? You know, maybe on the menu. Nobody's really taken Banjo Bowl and trademarked it or anything, right?
No,
maybe bowls could look like Banjo Bowls. That'd be kind of cool.
That's a great idea. See?
Then you could drink out of them.
Laurel Baldwin writes in. Laurel says, at the start of his W fan show this morning, Boomer repeats what he said about the CFL. Also admits that he received a couple of instant messages from people who had noticed the post. By the way, I got, this is going nuts. I knew it would. People writing in like crazy. I was trying to find a GIF of somebody who was looking at their phone and it was on fire. It's like, it's sweet. Here's Boomer when he walks out of SoFi Stadium and opens up his Twitter. Bah! You know what? On fire.
Just blows up. Yeah.
Jeff Krieger says it was a good restaurant when you had it, Rod. Yeah, I don't know what's happened since. I was so proud and humbled that when I did have that restaurant, every CFL team came through there. Every WHL team came through there. SJHL teams when they came through town. You wonder why I love these guys.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The new owners still have the photos on the wall of those teams. I'm like, did you want to take those down? Or give me a discount at least? John Ohm in Winnipeg. I would support a Rod food place in Winnipeg. Let's do this. I'm in.
Sounds like we got the investors started.
Write it down. Banjo Burger.
We'll have to do that someday on the show, is come up with names for the restaurant and menu items.
That's right.
The comments will go nuts. So we have to dedicate some time to that at some point.
Wayne in Victoria, BC. Most people in the CFL know how good Streveler is. He is basically a running back. He can't read a defense or throw accurately. So are you saying that he's good or he's not? What you saw Sunday was what we saw in the CFL with Chris Streveler. He's the same guy. The question is, are they going to stick with him? Can't get that. Are they going to stick with him? I don't know if they do or not. Right? That was his chance. Is he going to get better from there?
See, and why the Taysom Hill thing hasn't played out, somebody mentioned it, he's very few times has he taken a snap in the NFL, and they thought he'd be used like Taysom Hill. Well, the difference is Taysom Hill is a real change of pace in New Orleans, right? Drew Brees doesn't move around. He's got no real, jump in his legs, but he's very accurate, and his decision-making skills are off the charts. But Arizona already has that guy. It's Kyler Murray. He's the change of pace. He runs around. So if you bring Streveler in to run around, you're not really keeping the defense off guard here. So that's why it hasn't worked. That's why they haven't done it, and why Taysom Hill works in New Orleans, because it is a change of pace. So interesting to see what they do moving forward.
Chad Isaac says Streveler's a lesser version of Lamar Jackson. He can run, just can't pass. Whoa, 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 whoa. Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the National Football League. He can do it all, man. He's going through. What's the third-year jinx? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's what he's got.
Not the sophomore, yeah. But he's very accurate.
Lauren Goldenberg in Pittsburgh. Rod, pizza should only be eaten once every 3 weeks. Watch the carbs and fats. Bite your tongue, sir. I'm not training for the Olympics. Well, and that's the poll question. Do you expect Streveler back in the CFL? John in Winnipeg says, I would love to see Streveler back in the CFL. He has game. Give the guy a break. We'll continue this all in hour two. I just feel like we're just warming up now. Ken Danico will be with us from NHL Network, former Devil and Yorkton Terrier, and more of all of this. So hang on. Coming up, YouTube Live, Twitter Live, Facebook Live, and Game Plus TV. Stick around. I can sniff controversy. I can smell it.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.